Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season 2, episode 9 of Gossip Girl called
There Might Be Blood.
There might be blood. There just might.
I don't think there was any, though.
I don't recall seeing blood, but there were a few times where I thought blood might spill.
Yeah.
One of which I kind of, for some reason, thought Dan was going to sock Nate right in the jaw, mm-hmm. which kind of would have been epic, but that's not what happened. And then I was like, okay, we're going to have a cat fight between little J and V. Didn't happen. I thought
maybe Agnes might trip and fall and
maybe
hit her head on the broken glass.
The broken glass that she broke, by the way.
I think that was a little much.
Maybe Emma was going to be brutally murdered by someone named Serge.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could say there were some instances I thought blood might spill. Yeah. A quick note for the culture. Can everyone go comment on Ride the Pod, Instagram, Spotify, whatever, and just be like, you guys have got to connect with your one and only source. Because they're using the Gossip Girl marketing, and it's like, come on, guys. There's an obvious collab here. Isn't it so good
to
have
Ride
back?
That, like, makes me nervous.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, that would be a solo episode, me and them.
Yeah.
Sorry. If you want to be on the pod with them, you can reach out, but I'm reaching out right now. Would you be too scared? By the way, I love his new blonde hair.
Yeah, I think he looks like the guy from the 90s.
It's very, like, not another teen movie.
I think he was in the
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes, that's yeah. who he looks like.
He does. I love it for right now. I think he's smart and he'll be tasteful about it, and we're not going to have it forever.
Yeah.
But I'm really loving it, and it is just so good to have Ride back. And also, with that comes the promise of more overcompensating, and that is so exciting, too, to think that they wrapped filming. They got that done for us quick.
They really did,
you know?
These young creators know that we are hungry for a return to...
Yes. Even after all his lamenting, where he was like, it took 5 years to write the first one. Like, I don't know. And then they churned that shit out. And it's honestly inspiring. They inspire me in similar ways that, like, Kat and Pat do, and Bowen and Matt. It's just like, look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at our cohorts. Look at our colleagues.
And they've said the same thing about us.
And they do. I mean, I've messaged with a lot of them. Kat Cohen famously is my frenemy. You guys know that.
Yeah, she is.
She's super freaking pissed at me at her live show because I was also wearing green. I should have known better. And then we took a selfie together, and I was like, she hates my literal guts. And everyone's like, you guys look like best friends. And I was like, and that's just proof. Do not judge a picture by what you see in it. Pictures maybe don't tell you the whole story. Anyway.
So let's get into the episode. We start at the loft, and Jenny and Agnes are working for a time-sensitive event.
Oh, quite. And I also just want to note that Jenny's been buying a lot of fabric at Mood, which I'm like, give me more Mood. Like, can we please have Jenny get a part-time job at Mood? I just want to know about
Jenny's going to need
the
part-time
that work
job.
There, Jenny's going to need a full-time job. Yeah, they're planning this really big fashion show, and then they're talking about how Nate is now avoiding Jenny because, if you'll remember, they were freaking locking lip-sucking face on the streets of New York City last step.
In the words of Agnes, I think he had her... his tongue down her throat, I think.
Okay, Agnes.
I can't remember if that's an Agnes quote or a Ramona Singer quote from the most recent episode
what happened.
Of Roni
Honestly,
I've watched.
Probably that. And also, I want to note, I told you to slow down because I'm so close to catching up with you. And then I hear you're on season 9.
Okay, when I told you I was on
that
season 7, when I told you I was on season 7, I was mistaken. I was on season 8. So that was my misspeaking.
You're bad, yeah. Love to hear those words come out of your mouth.
Listen, Caroline, you know I can't slow down. No. I know.
It's a train that's off the tracks. It's so good.
It's so good.
I can't believe it.
It makes Beverly Hills look boring.
Like chump change. Exactly. It's so good. It's unbelievable. Ramona Singer continues to be the gift that keeps on giving.
Like, I can't believe her.
I can't believe she's real. And Luann. Both of them. I cannot reconcile who these women are with, like, who these women are.
And the fact that Sonya. Before this was all happened, before the cameras were up, they were just living their lives like this.
They were just still like this. Terrorizing the city of New York and none of us heard about it? What good is that?
Exactly.
All right, if you're going to terrorize New York, you know, we better get something great out of it, like The Dark Knight or Rhodey, you know?
Or like a gorilla fashion show, which is what Agnes and Jenny are up to. And
they're really
trying to capitalize on this found alone time because Nate and Dan are going to a movie.
Yes. And so we then go to Nate and Dan, who are walking to the movie, and Dan's like, oh my God, like something super weird is happening behind the closed doors with Jenny and Agnes. And Nate, like, is obviously being super cagey about, like, if he knows anything, if he's talked to Jenny, whatever. And at this moment, Dan has like a 30-second stretch of just every reason why I hate him. He gets a text from Jordan, the TA from Yale, and he says who it is to Nate. And Nate's like, oh, who's that? And Dan's like, hello, the TA from Yale. Dude, you literally hooked up with her. And Nate's like, oh my God, yeah. He goes, well, it's good to be Nate. And I'm like, and you are just oozing with resentment. And it's obvious and disgusting. And then he's like, well, you know what? This sucks because, like, I'm not going to get the recommendations. And it's like, okay, let's remember who got who in this situation, Dan. You didn't do what you needed to do. You didn't fulfill the obligations you needed to have. And now you're relying on somebody else to pick up the slack and it's not working out. And you want to shake your fist at the sky about it? How about you shake your fist in the freaking mirror? Okay, Dan. And so then he just starts walking away from Nate and Nate's like, hello? And he's like, oh, I'm not going to the movie anymore. And it's like, were you going to tell the guy that you're walking to the movies with that you decided not to go, Dan?
He's crazy. He literally walks back. He is the definition of nice guys finish, like, nice guy. He's the reason why. We say that. Yeah. Nice guys finish last.
Yes. But it's like, okay, as long as nice guys is in quotations, correct. Like, but, Ramona, but you are the reason why.
Ramona just had a great quote about some guy in the show, and she was like, the thing about guys who were ugly when they were young and were always rejected by women, they grow up
with a vengeance.
And they have to prove it to everybody now.
Yep.
And it's like with what we think happened with West or Jesse.
Yep.
And then guys who have always been conventionally attractive, like Nate, have always gotten the girl. Mm-hmm. They grow up and they kind of just, they might have been an asshole in high school, but they kind of develop into a normal,
yeah,
well-adjusted
person. It is really true. Like, I have dated a lot of guys who have the whole thing where you get hot later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, they're the worst ones. And they're the ones that trick everybody, you know? Like, they trick everybody.
Well, because they also, like, those guys have grown up having to figure out how to schmooze their way through life,
yep,
because they
exactly
didn't feel like
so
they had
great
their looks.
At talking, they're great at connecting, they have a lot of girlfriends, they have a lot, you know, whatever. But then, like, when push comes to shove, they still are always looking for the next best thing to fill their insecurity from when
and they also
were a child.
Hate women because, like, they resent them so much for
exactly,
like, how they were. But the thing about Dan is, instead
they feel
of deciding
entitled to,
yeah, for yeah, Dan, instead of doing what a lot of guys do in high school that are ugly or go through a chubby phase and they become mm-hmm, the funny guy, Dan just has a chip on his shoulder,
yes,
and, like, wants to complain all the time and talk about, like, woe is mm-hmm, me. Like, I'm so, he already thinks he's great.
Yes.
Whereas
exactly,
those guys, so, like, he's kind of on a interesting part of the Venn diagram there.
Yeah. I think some may classify that as sociopathic, that part of the Venn diagram. I don't know. It's definitely a condition. But this also was, this moment was very you and me, because Dan's like, oh my God, like she's texting me about this because she's not going to call me to deliver bad news. So it's definitely bad news. And she probably couldn't blah, blah, blah. And that means she gave it to all these different professors and none of them liked it. So she had to keep asking others. And Nate's like, or she just like wasn't free to call you and just like was going to text you with good news. And Dan's like, you should be a writer. You are. You have such an incredible imagination. But like,
Oh, great.
It's so you and me.
You should be.
Oh, great. Now you're coming for my job. I should have known. Well, it's yours, I guess. But why should I even try when the Nate Archibalds of the world get to walk around the streets of New York doing whatever they want, forgetting that TA from Yale that my future depends on, by the way. Get out of my house. That's what Dan said, but they cut the cameras and we didn't see that part.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
right.
So then we go to Serena and Blair, and they're meet. I could not figure out who this person was, and I have her name written at the bottom of my document, so I'm not going to go look.
Elizabeth Boardman.
Boardman. Okay, great. I was going to say Broadmoor. Boardman. She is someone at Yale. I don't even like. Really
I know it's interesting
is.
Because they have. Because we already met the like guy from
yeah.
Yale, so I'm like, could you
Dean
not get that
Barabee.
Actor back? If we had to,
like,
do
apparently
a little
these people are friends with him,
right?
But they're important enough that like Serena and Blair are at their house, like having tea, discussing Yale. So she's somebody that she and she's close to the dean. I don't know.
Maybe she's someone in admissions, like
yeah. Serena is being a good friend in this moment mm-hmm. because. This woman is only has eyes for Serena, has no idea Blair is in the room, and Blair is hilarious about it.
It's everything Blair said when she had her first Yale interview,
yes.
where she was like, I'm not Serena. I'm not
exactly.
gonna like, I don't remember a thing of what she said, but I remember the idea.
My laugh might not sound like blah, 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 and I may not, I don't know at all.
Something like
I don't
that.
Know
like
at all. I'm not delightful.
But, yeah.
Yes, you are. Yes, but yeah, it's all that. And Serena does keep going like, okay, but ask, oh my gosh, Blair. And she really does keep turning the attention on Blair, which is nice of her. But this woman is just like completely uninterested. And at this moment, this is so cute. Blair, the woman's husband comes into the room and Blair leaps to her feet, stands up to like greet him. Serena, like literally lounging on the chair, then like leisurely gets up when like she has to say something. Like Blair just like, oh, and the woman only introduces Serena. It's like, are you okay? And she literally, wait, sorry, I'm just... We find out this woman's daughter is going to be home all night by herself, and Serena volunteers Blair to like babysit her and take her to a movie.
Which I thought was so weird.
Also, like if I'm reading about you in the paper, Serena, like I'm not.
Yeah, taking your
having my
there,
kid go with
my
you.
Kid. Also, the girl
but
comes
like,
out and she looks like Gretchen Wieners' little sister.
She looks exactly like Gretchen Wiener. Oh my God, you're so right. She also looks like she definitely was on like a Disney Channel show as like a guest star. Like,
mm-hmm.
She's definitely in there somewhere. Her name's Emma. And so Blair is like going to end up hanging out with her, which she doesn't want to do at all. And it's so funny because when Emma walks in the room, her mom goes, yeah, Serena's friend. And she looks at Blair, like, completely blank-faced, and Blair goes, Blair. And it's, she literally, Blair. She's so, it's just so good. Like,
wait, we've missed the part when Serena tells Blair to stop cracking her knuckles.
Oh, wait, yeah. And hasn't Serena said that to her before?
I don't know, but I did.
Okay, Serena's
clock.
Got misophonia.
I did clock her cracking the knuckles, and mom would, if like we were at a college admission visit and she was in the room with us and we were talking to the person cracking her knuckles, mom would backhand us.
She'd be holding our hand so tight that, by the way, our hand's blue now, so that we can't whatever. And that would be more appropriate to her than us cracking our knuckles in a room like that. Mom has always hated, you know, mom doesn't like that we have things with sounds, but mom is one of,
it's
annoyed quickly with things like that.
It's because it's
so
different when,
like,
the kid gets when the kid gets annoyed with sounds, it's like, well, you don't, we're in our house. We're allowed to make whatever noises we want, but mom's the mom.
Yeah.
So she gets to say,
you.
Don't
You're
crack
right.
your knuckles.
You're totally
with
right.
your mouth closed.
Hey, Chuck, you're being a little bit loud, babe. He's
See?
So cute.
Case in point.
I know. Well, I'm worried about Charleston, I'm like, hey, I'm terrified of Phoebe. I'm terrified
Charleston,
of Phoebe.
If Charleston looked at Caroline and said, hey, could you keep it down over there? That would be inappropriate.
He would never, and let's be clear, he's not the one who would ever do that.
Drama would do it.
Drama on the other hand. Ewing, drama. Go lay down. Oh my God. By the way, he said, do you want to tell them? Okay, drama. Drama's going to tell them. I've been actually walking around collecting mama's squishies and Nido's Fondafloor because I'm collecting them to make silicone breast implants. Just call me Dolly Parton. I don't know. Like, we're not obviously not paying for him to get breast implants. But I don't, he said he's saving. He keeps going, I have Apple Pay. I'm like, okay, well, good luck, babe. Like, you know, but so anyway.
Good for him.
Good for him. Live your truth. It's just like it's on the budget, baby.
Not with your Nidos.
Your breast implants with my Nidos is not in the budget. Anyway, so Serena is like leaving her house or something, and Aaron, who I'm already just like immediately so icked out by, he's mm-hmm. been on my screen for 30 seconds, and
no,
they've all been miserable.
No, thank God.
No glasses, but later on he has a scarf like he's in the last scene of A Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to bring it up.
Yikes.
What just happened? I just blacked out.
Sorry, I just watched all of A Christmas Carol in the Hazard Theater in my brain when you said that.
Scrooge. Anywho, she's talking to him and she explains that she figured out who Cecil the Caterpillar is. And then she's like, and by the way, like, I figured this out when I saw a girl get on your motorcycle. And he's like, oh, that. Just a friend. Serena is mid-inviting Aaron to a date. A woman runs up to him and kisses him on the mouth in front of her. And she's like, okay. And here's my question for you, Aaron, because at the end of the episode, we still have no answers. And he says something to her. He's like, if you're going to let, like, you know, the fear of whatever keep you from, like, seeing what's here, then, like, okay, I was wrong about you. And it's like, no, dude, you were kissing someone on the mouth. Who is it? It's not your grandma. So who is that?
Also, I'm sorry, like, and I know we're like not, we don't love Serena, but it's like, okay, buddy, if you,
she's still my girl.
Mr. Ebenezer Scarf,
yeah,
have a shot with the socialite. This is like him having a date with Paris Hilton, maybe.
Literally.
And he's
this is
like,
an opportunity, my guy. And
again,
what are you doing here?
Fucking these men who just suck.
It's so crazy. And I am just like, are we ever going to get an answer on that? Because, like, let's not be gassed. Like, as much as I can't, you know, it's like the Aria thing. Like, I can't stand her, but, like, get behind me. Not too much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit with Serena. And in moments where it's like this, it's like, I don't think
so. Not so fast.
Okay, not so fast, dude. You thought I wasn't going to stick up for her? This is ridiculous. You're gaslighting the woman.
Exactly. Like, so Serena walks away. We go back to the loft and Dan and Nate have just gotten back. And basically it's like record scratch freeze frame when they walk in.
Yes.
Because Agnes and Jenny are about to hustle out to their van.
Agnes yells right before they walk in. She yells, Eleanor is going to kill herself after tonight.
She did not catch that.
I've never heard it before. I literally did imagine that. Eleanor is going to kill herself after tonight.
And then she jumped 3 feet in the air and clicked her heels.
It was really weird. She had two bell kicks. It was really weird. It was really weird. By the way, I had the audacity to put one bell kick in Wizard of Oz, and on like opening night, Scarecrow tore his meniscus doing the bell kick. So I can literally never use a bell kick ever again.
You're lucky you're not being freaking tried in a court of law.
I know. And he's doing another show with me.
That would be such an interesting premise for a musical where it's like the choreographer has it out for one of the dancers.
Harding, one of the dancers. So
yes,
can dance
but
them.
Through your choreography. You make it so hard that they like you're really pushing them to the limit
you're
of what they can physically do.
You're going to kill yourself trying to do this dance. Show me how bad you want it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's,
you know, and that's kind
actually,
of what it was like
honestly,
growing up, by the way, in dance class.
It's kind of like a chorus line where like it's an audition.
Kick, kick,
and
cap,
so
lit, leap, kick,
It gets fewer and fewer people throughout the show until just your target is there. And then you, the choreographer and that person have a dance battle.
Oh my God.
And Phoebe, the person's heart gives out.
And I'm tried for murder.
Yeah.
Manslaughter.
And that's the sequel.
And everyone's like, look,
I think I just wrote my own Mary. I think I just wrote my own Mary.
Okay, get to the lab.
And I might have the best sister to work on it, be a collaborator, because she's a choreographer.
That's actually so nice.
So you can do all of the, you can do all of that work, and I just get to put my name on the book.
So you want me to do all the choreography,
mm-hmm.
but you'll do everything else.
Sure.
Because you said you'll do all that work, which means choreography. Did you mean I'll also write it?
No, I meant more so.
You know I'm already working on a project. You know that I'm already working on my first musical.
Well, Caroline, I mean, once that project's off the ground, we are going to have to churn
anything's
out
possible.
Musicals.
No, I know. People are going to be like,
they're going to be like, how quickly can we get Wicked off Broadway?
They're going to be like, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but Chicago is closing on Broadway to make room for the fourth Connell Sisters musical. And for some reason, like, I have put your name on everything, even though you didn't even, like, come to opening night.
It's for branding. It's for branding.
It's because of the branding. I'm like, she owns half my IP. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
And then we'll have someone write the Pretty Little Podcast, the musical.
Well, because we can't write it because we don't remember anything that would be in it.
Right.
Except for one thing, Christy.
Yeah. Yes. And Taemin is the only person that gets to play herself.
Yeah, but we make it hell.
Yeah. But she gets to do it because she was the nicest one to us.
I don't believe that she was acting out of pure evil.
Mm-mm. I think she was like caught up and she was like, whoa, 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 whoa,
yeah,
whoa, whoa, whoa.
I think so too. I think she had no idea about our power.
No, definitely not.
Definitely didn't. And then she was like, oh shit, what the fuck? And then, as I like to say, we buried him 6 feet under. I mean, it wasn't directly because of us, but it couldn't have helped.
No.
It could not have helped.
No. No, no, no.
Anyway, okay, so best thing that ever happened to us, by the way. Okay, so Nate and Dan come in. Jenny, by the way, looks absolutely insane. Jenny, by the way, you look bad this whole episode.
Wait, okay. I liked her. I didn't like her hair at the gorilla fashion show, but I thought her outfit was kind of cool.
I can't like see anything past the bleach blonde hair and the bright red lipstick and the like hairnet clip and the bangs that are covering her like black eyes.
Neck down.
I know she's wearing that polka dot thing. I guess the outfit would have been cute, but it's absolutely impossible for me to imagine.
At the thing later, she's wearing like a lace, like almost like peplum
black
dress.
Right? Yeah.
No, it was white at the thing.
Oh.
She is. Black tights on, but the dress is short enough that it almost looks like a shirt.
That's what I'm imagining. But for some reason, I thought it was polka dotted.
No, it's
white.
But
I was wrong.
I don't think it was polka dots.
But yes, that is the look I'm imagining with the black tights, which maybe would have been cute.
Oh, it's striped. It's white and black stripes.
Okay. So we're like right there. Anyway.
Her hair is also warmer toned this episode.
Well, it's getting brassy. She needs to get back into the chair.
Yes, but it's interesting that we went right from like last episode where it was like,
well, that's what happens. That's why people, like, their hair falls out when they bleach it so much, because it gets to, like, a yellowish color. They have to keep toning it and
bleaching it. That quickly.
I believe it can happen very, very quickly. And honestly, like, by the time, I mean, yeah. And also if her hair is, like, a little bit dirty, like, I'm pretty sure, yes.
That's crazy.
But I could also be wrong. I don't, like, bleach my hair, but... Yeah. Anywho, so I just think she looks terrible, but that's fine. We go back to Emma, and she is like, is my mom gone? Blair's babysitting. She comes outside in like a slutty dress. And I mean, I forgot this plot line. You really can't believe the words that come out of her mouth. She says, Muffy McDonough's been bragging that she's going to lose her virginity tonight, and I'm going to beat her to it. On the night that Blair is babysitting her, Blair is like so horrified. And then she's like, all right, I'm going to lose my virginity first. I'm saying TTFN to my you know what.
What does TTFN mean?
Ta-ta for now. Ta-ta for now. You don't know Tata what for now?
What a different time. I know that saying, but I didn't know people abbreviated it so, like,
TTFN.
That they would have written it in a script. I was lamenting yesterday that, like, I do wish they would reinvent the BlackBerry.
The BlackBerry? It also
that
just,
would
like,
be the phone.
So chic.
That would be the phone that made me switch from having a smartphone.
I mean, I loved it so much, but I don't see it ever happening. And honestly, if it did happen, I probably still wouldn't do it at this point.
I would. I might do it, but I would have to invest in an iPad also.
You would yeah, for sure. For help. I mean, that's a given. Everyone needs an iPod. Okay, so Blair's horrified, obviously, and Blair and Emma are, like, having a standoff, and basically Emma's going to blackmail Blair into helping her. She's like, if you help me, I'll tell Dean Barraby to admit you, and if you don't, I will say that you got me wasted. I have a credit card and a fake ID. I want Bacardi and a boy.
And Blair is like, if you don't put that dress back where it came from, so help me.
Put that thing back where it came from, or so help me. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So back to the Humphrey loft. Dan screaming at Jenny.
I do love that. Did we say that the lacrosse captain is known as the Devirginator?
Oh, no, we didn't say that. We didn't say that. But yeah.
Yeah. So that's okay. Just that was important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually okay, shocked so, Caroline skipped over that.
Well, I got the lacrostitute moment later.
Which was really good.
Which was epic. Hey B, epic. All right. So Dan's yelling at Jenny, and, like, we find it all comes out that she's not at Eleanor's anymore and Rufus doesn't know it, and they're doing this gorilla fashion show. And then Agnes is like, it's time to go. We got to get in the van. And Jenny's like, if you just give me a few hours, I'll tell him everything. But, like, this is already in motion. This is happening. Whatever. We go to Serena's. Girl, what are we doing? You actually don't know. Yeah.
What are we doing?
Why are we laying in bed looking at pictures of Cecil, the caterpillar, yes, and this man? Like, I can't with this. The way we're romanticizing it. Just because why? Because why? Yeah, you can have anybody that you want. What is this? No,
that's why. That's exactly
I
it,
guess,
actually.
Yes, but it's like you can have him, too. You just have to be okay with being one of many. Like, he hasn't rejected you.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, what? Like, either don't care about, I don't know. It's just bizarre. And Blair runs in and she's so fucking mad at Serena. She says, she's determined to become a woman on my watch. And if I don't pimp her out, she's going to character assassinate me to the dean. I just love when Blair is on fire like, about it. And Serena's like, oh, girl.
It's like, hey, Blair, what if we just be cool tonight and you do get her laid and then she does.
Are you saying?
No, I'm saying, like, what if she does put in a good word to her mom?
No. No, because you know what? At the end of the day, Blair has morals. She's ethics. You know what I mean? And Blair believes in the sanctity of virginity. You know, she like
that is true.
She's a romantic. So, you know, and it honestly, it's a great episode for Blair. And I
agree.
Just love her at the end of this episode.
Guys, I was just trying to have a fun little funny moment. I didn't mean what I said.
Well, hey, it was psychotic. I mean, I'm going to say it. It was, I was drawn on the floor. Could not believe what you were saying. And everyone is saying that too in the live audience.
One of these days, Caroline is going to have a live audience. Mm.
Maybe I do right now, and they're being quiet. Maybe. Okay, anyway, back to this. So Blair's like, Serena's like, I was just trying to help you. Like, sorry, my bad. I would be pummeling Serena into the ground, be like, you're fixing this. Yeah. And Blair goes, next time leave the scheming to the experts. And Serena's like, well, I'm just like, I just need to like chill out. Like, I'm upset about what I just saw with Aaron. And then she suggests that Blair takes Emma to the gala, which is actually a great idea. That's like the perfect thing
perfect
if
event.
It hadn't
it's
been
fun.
Foiled. Yes, it seems like the right kind of a thing. And then she's like, you can raid my closet, Emma, which is really exciting. And so that's like what's in the works now.
Mm-hmm. And so then we go to the gallery and Vanessa is talking to Dan and telling him that like he should cover for Jenny. And
Vanessa is so out of control. She's that friend. When I worked at the movie theater in high school, there was a girl there named Holly. And
that
sorry, Holly, but
crow.
Everyone called her Crazy Holly because she just was kind of like nutty. They had nicknames for everybody there. Mine was the train because I had a butt, because of my butt. Yeah, it was intense there. It was an intense place to work. Yeah.
Most movie theaters are, I think.
That movie theater. They were so sad when I quit. Like the people who, like the managers, because they were like, you're like the only person who's like light in their
They've
eyes.
They've never had
here.
Someone
like,
with your,
no,
like,
literally. And I only started working there because I thought one of the guys who was working there was cute. And I asked him for an application and I got the job and then it was his last day. So then I was just like stuck working there.
Caroline?
Okay, relax.
Caroline really was Rainey Rodriguez from Austin and Ally in high school.
What?
Rainey Rodriguez
has a million jobs.
Yeah, she'd come into the music store every day wearing a different outfit
okay,
about
Charleston,
her new job.
Stop this. Stop. Sorry, my God. No, yeah,
someone's
I mean, I was definitely that, and I'm still that, but it is just like.
It's actually crazy you didn't work in food service until when you did.
No, I really didn't want to because I was kind of like grossed out by food, but then I freaking loved it. I also think I didn't want to like work my way up. Like I was like, I don't want to be a host. Like I want to, you know what I mean? I was like, I've never waited tables, but put me in coach. Like I can figure it out. And I honestly had a great time waiting tables. But anyway, the reason I was saying this is Holly, we were working one day and I was like in trouble at work because the rule was you had to be available to work holidays, like all holidays. And I was like, I think it was like New Year's and we were going to New Jersey or something. And so I told them, I was like, I can't work over New Year's. Like, I have to go to New Jersey. And they're like, no, you don't. Like, you can't go to New Jersey. You have to work. To a high schooler. So you have to work. And I was like, I don't know if you understand. Like, it's not up to me. Like, I don't, like,
I'm
whatever.
16.
Yeah, like, I my family said I have to go, so I have to go. And they're like, your family needs to understand. Like, blah, blah, blah. So mom had to call my boss at the movie theater. I'm like, you should really be, like, thanking your lucky stars that I'm even working here, dude. This is just like fun for me. This isn't my thing. So anyway, mom called, but I remember Holly being like, why can't you just stay home? Like, girl, you can do whatever you want. Like, come on, you're 16, like you're 17. You can like, well, you can make your own decisions. You don't. And I was like, you really don't get it.
I think
it.
That
like,
what it is
I
do
know
think
I cannot.
I'm picturing that movie theater, and I do think maybe some of the kids that worked there, that was their,
totally.
Like, that was the truth for them.
Totally. But it's like,
but
that's
it's
what
like,
Vanessa's doing here, where it's like, that. Oh, that's not how it works here. Like, yeah. Like, my, like.
Vanessa's so, like, in her love haze with Rufus. She's like, no, Rufus is cool.
She's like, Rufus, I'll talk to him, okay? I'll pillow talk to him. But
Dan,
then she
you
freaks
just,
the
you
heck
cover
out.
For Jenny. You cover for Jenny, and I will take it. I have a way with words with him.
It's like, you're with Rufus. I can't believe you're so upset about Nate still. You know what I mean? It's kind of weird, and Dan has every right to be pissed at you.
How
like,
does
you're
Rufus
with my dad
feel
now.
About it?
How does Rufus feel about it? Maybe that's why he's so upset at the end. Dan's like, okay, so you want all of us to cover for her, me, you, and Nate? She goes, don't lump me in with Nate. He's your friend.
She like, okay.
What do you
Vanessa,
mean?
Vanessa, you're very hot and cold because like you will, there will be an episode where you're like cordial with Blair and the Upper East Side people. And then,
and then
you
the next
hear
like,
Nate's
I own
name.
You, by the way.
Yeah. Like, and then girl. You talk to, Dan can't even keep up. He's like, wait, I thought you were cool with Blair for a second. Wait, I thought you were cool with Nate. Like, now you have this vitriol
with them. I mean, and it's like intense. Dan's like, okay, well, like, what, do you still like him? She goes, Nate hates me. Oh my God, give me a break. Like, I actually can't. And Dan's like, well, maybe you should tell Nate you like him. She's like, who said that? Who said that? And Dan literally says to Vanessa, she's like, let her do her thing. She's basically an adult, like her whole thing.
She's 15.
Dan says, she's 15. Like, Dan goes, what if she's about to make a huge life altering mistake and I don't stop her? And guess who walks in, Roof? He goes,
well,
what?
Who's about to make a life-altering mistake?
Ooh. Oh, Roof, bad news.
Rufus
it's your
is
character.
Not
gonna
like
the answer.
Rufus's character type was built for a Disney Channel show where it's like Phineas and Ferb are like talking about how they're going to build a roller coaster and the dad walks in and is like, who is building a roller coaster? Like
the bumbling like, idiot dad character? Yeah. That's sorry, Roof. You're getting bumbling idiot dad character. animated too. So Chuck is at the, I wrote VDW Villa, the Vanderwoodson Villa.
Oh, do we like that? I think I like it.
Okay, we'll play with it. Chuck's at the Vanderwoodson Villa, and Emma walks out, and I'm immediately like nauseated, gagging in my seat.
No. Turn around.
I'm like, no. No, literally, it's how I felt when Trinity during Casa Amor this season of Love Island, and we're like, we need to get a message to Trinity. Trinity, no, stop. Yeah.
Everybody on Twitter was like, how can I buy a drone?
A blimp. What do I need? I need to get a message to Fiji. Yeah, exactly. Trinity, stop.
We find out that Love Island has like airstrike snipers. So they can shoot down messages.
That was a thing with Big Brother for a while, I believe. Like they would have people like flying snipers? Shit up and like no, like drones with like notes and shit, like messages from the outside world, or people like that's yell crazy. Stuff over the wall. Anyway, so yeah, so Chuck is being slimy and creepy with Emma, and
she's into it.
Yes, and he blows up Blair's spot because he's like, oh, I'm not going to that fucking gala. It's all oldies, all old people. And so she asks Chuck to take her for a ride instead. And he says, looks like you've just hooked yourself a bass. She better not have. I know she doesn't, but I am like, why did...
There's something about that saying that it is like, it's clever, whatever. But what I will say is it doesn't feel very Chuck.
No, it doesn't. It feels like something Blair would say about Chuck when she's like...
Well, it's like when Blair said...
Somebody just hooked themselves a bass. You know what I mean?
It's like when Blair said Mother Chucker. It didn't fit her. Whereas this also doesn't fit Chuck.
Basshole.
Yeah. Like the you know it's what I mean? Just like, it feels
they're,
like
they're into wordplay, Mara, but not this
Hannah
guy.
Marin writing.
Yes, which, hey, not knocking it. Just context matters. Context matters. So Blair and Serena are getting ready for the gala. Blair goes to check on Emma. Guess what? She's gone. But there was something left for Serena. So Aaron, I guess, saw Chuck and gave him a licorice ring to give to Serena. I'm just like, I don't care.
Men are sick in the head. Imagine if he does have a girlfriend.
It really does seem like he might. Like, hey, dude, I know what you're trying to sell me here. It's really giving girlfriend. Sorry. So.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter. And then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives? Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie lowcountry marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
Go ahead.
They're loading the van, Jenny and them, and Nate's like, girly, don't do this. Like trying to get her to not do it. And they have like a little lover's quarrel. She's like, you haven't spoken to me all week. Why do you even
care?
She,
like,
if you care about me.
She's standing like... She keeps getting like a little bit closer to his face in the standoff. She's like, why weren't you talking to me? Like getting closer and closer and closer.
Exactly.
And then he's like,
she's like,
I better drive.
Because the one who is driving has just had a bunch of pot brownies. So Nate's like, sounds like I should drive. So they're going to, and as they pull away, Rufus, Dan, and Vanessa run up.
And he says, is that Nate?
Them.
Ooh, tough.
Ooh, but
also, them
Nate.
Getting into this van makes it even more like Cruella. Like, I feel like the people that wrote Cruella watched this episode of Gossip Girl.
And they were like, and the vision is
this.
There might be blood. The vision is there might be blood, Gossip Girl. And they're like, oh, say no more. Understood. I see it. Even what Jenny's wearing.
Yes, exactly.
Very Cruella, you know?
Yes, 100%.
And so we go to Emma and Chuck in the limo.
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to introduce herself and he stops her. And she's like, let's get to business. And then, like, that's the last thing that we see happen. And then we go back to the Vanderwoods and Villa, and Serena and Blair are trying to find Chuck, and Chuck walks in the doors without Emma.
Chuck walks up with one shoe missing, his jacket half off.
I was
disheveled. He's like, whoa. He's like Drake and Josh walking off of that roller coaster in that one episode of Drake and Josh.
Insane pull, and totally accurate. Yeah.
That's how he's like, whoa, she really did try to take me for a ride, and it was too much for me.
It was too much for me. No, he comes in looking completely fine, spiffed up even, and he's like, nothing happened. And he says, there are a few things I consider sacred, but the back of the limo is one of them. And Blair's like, but I am like, no, but what, did he not know how old she was? And then he found out when she was acting like a freak in the car, like,
maybe.
I'm like, I don't know, but I'm just like, Chuck, a little bit more context of Chuck, and, like, not getting in the limo with her.
I like that we are seeing character development from Chuck, but I am like, age hasn't been an issue for you before, buddy.
True. But it should be. So I'm happy if we continue in this direction.
But how old is she? Is she a freshman?
I don't know. I think she's, I don't know.
Because then it's like Nate and Jenny.
Which is all so fucking weird, but okay. I'm like, I don't know. Okay. So we're at the gala. Jenny and Nate are outside waiting. And this is the New York Philanthropic Society's annual gala. And the whole point of this fashion show is they're like going to try to get financial backers and they want press. And Jenny says, sometimes the ends have to justify the means. And she hands Nate a suit and asks him to stay. And I'm just like, this is so crazy. Like,
Nate's
they are
whipped.
Nate, what? Is this like a cry for help? Like, what are you doing? Like,
he's like,
I'm
maybe
sorry,
he's
this
like, weirdo
this, behavior.
I just cracked it. He is so sick of Dan and his lamenting that
he's like, I'd rather be in jail.
He's doing everything he can to get kicked out of the Humphrey Loft.
Yeah, maybe. Jenny finds out this is all just a ploy to get him out of the Humphrey Loft. Insane. All right, so we're at a bar. We're looking for Emma. She's like in a booth with a guy, whatever. She's in a booth with a guy and she sees Blair and gets scared. His name is Serge, blah, blah, blah.
Do we think
it's
Serge like short for Sergey, or do we think it's Serge like S-U-R-G-E?
Well, no, because when I was watching with subtitles, it said S-E-R-G-E.
Hmm.
So is that maybe a name? On its
perhaps,
own. Sergio,
perhaps.
Maybe? I don't know.
Perhaps.
But later on, yeah, because later on Blair's like, stay away from the Surges of the world or something. It would be crazy if the name was Serge, S-R-S-U. Stop.
I know.
S-U-R-G.
That's what I was kind of hoping.
Okay, this is my kid Serge and my other kid Pow. This is my kid Serge and his brother Blast.
And these are our dogs, Bam and Pow.
And Kapow. This is Ka, this is Pow. And they don't go anywhere
Wait,
without
the
other.
That's kind of fun. That's kind of fun.
This is Oof. It would be hilarious if I had a dog named Oof.
It would be, I mean, having all dogs with names that are just onomatopoeia.
Beep. Excuse me, Beep.
Beep,
you better get over here.
Beep is
ding.
The best one.
Ding. You, I cannot believe you just, ding just pooped in the house.
And where there's Great. Ding, there's.
Schwing.
Where there's ding, there's.
Ring. What? Ling.
What do they say at the beginning of every Lost Culture?
Dong. Well, I would never name a dog dong. That's ridiculous.
Where there's ding, there's dong.
Yeah, but dong, unfortunately, doesn't
I would mean, hey, Caroline, I wouldn't name my dog any of these names.
Oh, I thought we were actually brainstorming.
Except maybe Beep. Beep is hilarious.
Beep is Beep and Boop. But I like just one dog named Beep and then one named, like, Carl.
Like Fido, like a regular dog.
Yeah, Fido, yeah. Okay, so, whatever. This whole bar scene with them trying to get Emma is, like, basically just a game of tag.
Mm-hmm.
We can move on from this. Jenny's at the gala. She didn't realize it was in honor of Lily and Bart.
Always do your research.
How did you miss that? When you were researching this event and chose
this?
Hey,
when you're planning your guerrilla fashion show next, figure out what the event really is.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's important. And you just looked at the title, but you didn't look at anything else. Like, the address is the hotel that Bart owns and that they live in. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that would have raised my eyebrows a little bit at this. But Jenny gets in because she says her name is Erica Vanderwoodson and that sometimes they forget the A. So she's pretending to be Eric.
Here's what I'll give her. Quick on her feet.
Smart. Because I would have said Serena and that wouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. I would have said, you are way more gorgeous than her. Okay, you have to be lying. No, but everybody knows Serena. You know what I mean? So it couldn't possibly be
her. Wait.
It was
okay, you're saying you're Serena. Can you turn to the side? Nope. No, she doesn't disappear like that.
She's at least four sizes wider than you. For sure. Yeah. And she doesn't have the same amazing rack, I'll say it. You're
when Caroline turns to the side, her whole body disappears.
All you see are two floating boobs. Two floating boobs and my train, of course. And long luscious locks and eyelashes that go boing. And by the way, boing, we don't bark at the mailman boing. Beep and boing, you know the rules. Go to your crates. Get to bed. Okay, so anywho, beep basically Lily sees Jenny and comes up to her and is like, oh my God, you're
couldn't
here.
Be nicer to her.
Could not be nicer to her. I'm like, call it off. Nate walks up. He's like, she's my date. She's with me. So they go to get something to drink and Jenny says something that I'm like, okay, and we could have stopped it right here, even though it doesn't end up being like an issue for Lily, but like still, she says, I'm about to ruin the night of people who have been nothing but nice to me. And it's like, that's true. Hey,
exactly.
Nailed it. That is 100% true. And as she starts to tell Nate about all this or whatever, he kisses her. Why'd you do that?
He kisses
Why'd
her
you
and then
do that.
I
in the middle
this
of
girl,
this room.
I was picturing us at like the country club while Dad is introducing us to one of his friends, and we take her. This girl is entranced when she starts taking.
This is the girl that said, "How could you take Serena back to Dan?"
Is it
in
really
Central Park? Mm-hmm. She'll be here a few more times. Yeah.
Oh,
she's,
I didn't
like,
know
throughout.
That. That's
yeah,
cute.
So it's her little grubby hands taking
I wonder
that picture.
If it's like a daughter of one of the.
What if it's Muffy?
One of the people. No. I mean like of like the workers.
I know, but I was like making a joke. Like, oh, and you mean in real life?
Yeah.
It's like, wouldn't it be funny a plot twist if it turns out that's Muffy McDonough, the lacrostitute? You know? Anyway.
She doesn't strike me as a lacrostitute.
So Jenny's like, so what, Nate? Like, do you regret last week? And he's like, I guess not. Hey, whatever you decide, I'm with you. I'm with her. Okay.
Nate, okay, so we go back to the bar. Here's what I will say. Nate campaigned for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
There I said it.
And Bernie.
Yeah. Well,
for some reason,
really
Nate was a big
in.
Bernie bro. Nate only knew. I feel like he was. Come on. He doesn't actually know anything.
That's why I think he was campaigning for Hillary. Because there's something about Nate where he really wants a female president. Because he
respects
women.
Feminist.
He respects women more than anyone on the show, I think.
Nate is a feminist. Even though
sure.
he is making out with a 15-year-old in this scene.
Wait, is Carol on Roni making out with anybody right now? Dating anybody?
No, but she's flirting with everyone's husband.
Okay.
She's like, I love flirting with husbands.
I love her so much.
I love her too. Okay, so Serena, Blair, and Chuck, they're still trying to find Emma. Blair is, like, super mad at Serena and starts to fight with her. And Chuck walks up, kittens, please. I found her table. And we look over.
But, whoa.
Not so fast, Mrs. Boardman. I've got my eye on you. Because they only looked for the last name. They saw Boardman and they were like, it's that booth. And then, oh my God, it's Emma's mom making out with some guy. She's losing her virginity tonight too.
And yeah, it's, you heard me right. It has only been done once before in the Bible.
But why couldn't it happen twice? You know what I'm saying?
Emma is the second coming.
Okay. It's, yeah, that's why she's on fire. Anyway, so Blair's like, yeah, screen. Just, yeah, let me take a look at that. And we just like watch the stress leave her body.
Caroline chronically online moment. Let me Caroline in real life. Caroline in real life. Wait, let me just screenshot this real quick. I'm just taking a picture in real life is now.
Caroline is going to kill herself after tonight. Oh my God. Well, yeah, so Blair takes a pic and feels immediate relief, and you can see it. It literally is like, she takes it and she's like, ah, like everything's going to be fine.
Then we go back to the loft, and Rufus is talking to Dan, and he's like, why would you have not told me this sooner? And he's like, because your freaking bed buddy told me not to.
That's why. And I want to talk about that, but now might not be the time. I mean, and Vanessa says, hey, anything you can say to Roof, you can say to me. Also, I want to note that Dan is at the computer during this scene, right, while everyone's talking. Mm-hmm. And then he walks away from the computer, and then he goes back to the computer to close it, and Gossip grows up, and he sees the picture of Jenny and Nate kissing. And I'm like, were you literally just writing that post?
Well, I think
post? And he's like, what? By the way, what's this?
I'm like, but he closes the computer, so I'm like, why?
Doesn't show them.
And that's what I mean. Like, but then it's like, so why did he feel the need to perform the act of walking away and hiding it?
I know. No, that's a good question. Now we want to know.
Is it a split personality thing where he's like, he has to perform it for himself so he doesn't. Like, he can ethically, like, live the way that he does.
I think he's also secretly dying to be caught, like most serial killers.
I also think that, like, there there are interns.
I mean, for sure. And I hope that, like, those personalities start to become more apparent to me.
Like, something comes in like this, and, like, if Dan's not online... Or Gossip
One of them
girl,
hates it. Jenny, like hates her. Yes. And Dan's like, I have to put you in the payroll because like, I can't be biased. Like people will start to realize it's me. Blair works for Gossip Girl and I Jenny. So, anywho, Rufus, Vanessa and Dan are now in a cab. They're going to the palace. Nate is like being trashed. Dan's like, there's no way. Like, or no, they say that Nate didn't know there's no way. And Dan's like, no, he has questionable morals. And Vanessa's like, well, what the fuck? You told me to tell him that I liked him. Like, what is the deal? Because Dan is hiding that Jenny and Nate kissed. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to send Vanessa into orbit. And then whatever. They get to the gala. They aren't immediately let in, but Lily sees them and lets them in. And Vanessa and Dan go look for Jenny. And Rufus is like trying to explain it to Lily. But of course, Bart walks up and it's this whole thing. Whatever.
So then we go back to One Oak, and Blair is
praying.
She's praying.
She's actually praying to Jesus Christ, God.
Out loud in front of everybody at the club.
Thank you, God. Literally out loud, looking up, doing the whole thing. And Serena's like, I just feel bad for her. She just wants to get laid. Just kidding. But
it is like, you know what, Serena? Blair was right. Just go to Brown. Just go to Brown.
My God. Serena is like, I just don't think you should blackmail this woman to get into Yale. And Blair's like, well, because of you, I don't have another choice. And she says, this is a sign from God. He wants me to do this. About her seeing them.
She's like,
he wants me to do this.
I literally just hung up with him.
Yeah, it's obvious.
I was literally just talking to him about this. It's okay.
He is encouraging. He's actually given me direct orders. I've been given orders practically from God himself to do this. So Emma has now left the bar and she's at a man Serge's building and they got the information. So they're going to go like save her. Chuck has the idea, whatever, they go. Dan finds Nate at the gala. This is when I thought he was going to punch him in the face. He did not, but he does throw him up against the wall and show him the picture and say, what the hell is this?
Wait, did we miss the USB scene? Where Agnes is like, it's this nerdy, dorky guy. And Agnes is like, this is, what's his name? He's in love with me. You can just give him this. And then when she goes to check on the model, she goes, and please don't do anything gross to my friend, to the guy.
Like, oh, and then but he doesn't like seem like a weirdo.
Well, yes, he does. For sure. I mean,
he seems like a weirdo, but he doesn't seem like,
but
that,
he doesn't
kind,
seem
of
like that like, kind of weirdo. He like, seems
when
like
Agnes
he's scared
says
of
that,
girls.
He looks at Jenny and he's like, not.
Yeah.
He doesn't have like, a sinister face.
Jenny's like isn't he going to lose his job? And I think that's when Agnes says, he's in love with me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Agnes has no morals, and Jenny needs to stay away from people like that.
So basically, just, like, it's giving the Pretty Little Liars fashion show where, like, there was, yes, there is something on all these screens already playing, and yes, then they've swapped it with what Jenny's fashion show is going to play. Yes,
exactly. So Dan is thrown up against the wall, and Nate goes, stop acting like I'm this creepy guy. I'm like, I know you're not, but you're not a creepy guy. And that's why I hate the way that you're acting, because it is giving creepy guy, and like, you're not one. And Dan's like, no, you're just the guy that traded sex for money. And in that moment, Nate realizes Vanessa told Dan everything. Vanessa. So anyway, Nate's like, well, I don't know where Jenny is, whatever. And Dan's like, get the fuck out of my house. Kicks him out.
It's also like, hey, Vanessa, this is what I hate about Vanessa specifically is like, you weren't telling the whole story because you were part of that. You were implicated in Nate getting out of that situation, and you wanted him out of that situation for selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. And so now you're also, you're switching. You're not, instead of what I would think you would do is the woke right, character is to be like, he was being basically, extorting her.
I'm going to use this word. He was being raped. Like,
by an adult woman.
And it doesn't matter if it appears to be consensual, because I guess he is 17, so perhaps it's not statutory rape, but like, just so you all know, that is what it is. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a consenting person. If you are a minor, you are unable to consent. So whoever is, you know, doing it with you is a villain,
a predator,
a criminal, a predator.
And
pedophile.
So it's not lost on me, Vanessa, that you've now conveyed this story to Dan. Like,
yeah,
he was like,
and it like really confided in her, like opened up to her. Like, it was,
it's
like a
gross
moment of trust
on both of their parts.
It is.
Dan, it makes more sense because he's defensive of his little sister right now. Mm-hmm. But Vanessa, you're just butthurt that you guys aren't dating.
Yeah. Which I also feel like she, like, you guys couldn't be, I'm sorry, you couldn't be date. Like, it wasn't because of the situation. I don't know, whatever. So we're at the hotel, Blair and Chuck are banging on the door for Emma, and she opens the door and Chuck says, yes, but I didn't write any of it down, but it is, she's in full panic mode. She's fully activated. And Chuck tells Emma to check Gossip Girl, and it says Muffy's muff got stuffed. And so we find out, Emma, you lost the lose your virginity race. Sorry, you came in last place. And Emma's like furious, of course. And then Blair walks in and they like both see the guy, I guess. I'm like so confused by this. They like burst out laughing. Like, I'm like, he must have some insane getup on, including like a tulip. But is that like a coat? Like, Chuck's like, next time lose the tulip. But like, is that a word? Do I just not know what that is?
I have no idea. And I'm good, actually.
Yeah, like,
I don't want to know.
I don't know what they see here, but they saved Emma from this fate. Thank God.
Huh. So,
Serena
is calling Aaron and gets his voicemail, and it is like,
this is, by the way, sociopathic insane. If you ever call a guy and this is what his voicemail is, you need to block that number and run.
He's like, if you're not Serena, just leave a message. And then he goes into this big long thing about like, if you are Serena,
I swear I don't have a girlfriend, blah, 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 blah.
And then someone picks up the answering machine.
Well, as she's leaving the message, she goes, that's the worst message I've ever heard, or the best. And then as she's saying all this, a woman picks up and Serena's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, again, like, we're now like, fool me like seven, eight, nine times, Serena, I'm over this. So we're at the gala. Nate is there. Jenny runs into him. Nate's like, by the way, I'm about to leave. I have to go back to home. Like, I can't be in your house anymore. And also your dad's here. And also everybody knows everything. Mm-hmm. And at that exact moment, Agnes runs up and is like, it's go time. Jenny asks Nate to stay. He does. And everything starts to fall into place. We have this announcement starting at the gala. They're congratulating Lily and Bart on whatever this is. Philanthropy.
And then blackout.
Exactly. It's freaking mayhem. Awful crazy music starts playing. Jenny's logos are on every screen in this room. And then it's like all these videos and pictures of Agnes and Jenny and everybody in her clothes, which like, it is a cool campaign. Like, it does look cool. It's just like so crazy. And honestly, though, like nobody really looks mad. Models are coming out. People have flashlights. Like they take off their jackets. They get on the tables and everything's fine now. They're throwing pamphlets out. Nothing's being broken. It's not going crazy. And Lily Vanderwoodson low-key loves it. Like, let's just be real. She loves it. And then fucking asshat Agnes. Like, I don't know. Like, I hate this girl. She comes in and what is that about?
She has to everything to like another level where she's like kicking glass.
It's doing almost like all she doesn't actually want it to succeed. Like she like,
wants it
like,
to be chaos and for yeah, it like to
it's
be like
she's
this.
Acting like she wants it to succeed, but then she's like once she sees that it's starting to go well,
she wants
like,
a mugshot so bad.
She wants a mugshot so bad. Yes. And she's like desperately wants to be able to use it on her ID too. She's like, sorry, whatever camera they're you. What, by the way, what camera is this? Because I love what it does to my under eye bags.
And when I get my one phone call, I just it'll be quick. I just have to call my photographer and let him know and
get you.
By the time I'm out of here, he'll
a copy
have
of this mugshot. Thank you. So yeah, everyone seems into this. Jenny is so happy. She runs over to Nate, kisses him in front of everybody, and guess who sees? Oh, Vanessa.
She's
the last person you want to see. And she like walks past them so mad. And of course, Jenny runs after her. Blah, 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 blah. Fashion show's over.
There are also all these Polaroids being thrown around with Jenny's phone number on the back of them.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Then we go.
The models are leaving the show. They're like being escorted out.
Mm-hmm.
Rufus and Dan are following them. They're all mad.
And then elsewhere, Blair and Chuck are bringing Emma back to her hotel. And goes upstairs, and Blair is thanking Chuck for, because Chuck got the Gossip Girl post up. It's fake. It's not real about Muffy. So then she goes up to Emma in the hotel and is like, your first time should be with someone that you love. Mm-hmm. And Emma's like, was yours even with someone that you loved? And Blair
and
says,
Blair,
it was.
Yes. She thinks for a second. She goes, yes. And she goes, and by the way, there are better ways to get your mother's attention. And Emma's like, that has literally nothing to do with it. And Blair goes, please. I wrote the book on distracted, self-centered mothers. And I think these next lines, like, give a lot of really good insight into Blair and, like, who she is as a person. Mm-hmm. Blair says, my mom has never met one of my teachers. She regularly forgets my birthday. And she only comments on my appearance when she has something to criticize. And it's like those three things right there tell us so much about, like, again, why is Blair the way that she is? And Emma says, but you're perfect. And Blair says, true. And that's why I finally realized it wasn't about me the same way it isn't about you. Mm-hmm. And she basically is like, I think you just need to have an honest conversation with your mom. And you need to avoid the surges of the world. And then they like walk to the elevator arm in arm. And it's like this super sweet, like Blair has taken her under her wing. She knows what it's like to be the only child of absent parents. And it's like very sweet.
Mm-hmm. So then we go to Dan. Dan got a call from Jordan, who is like, I couldn't get you a letter of recommendation, buddy. So sorry.
But you could still try to do it on your own, dude. Mm-hmm. You fucking weirdo. Serena walks up and she can tell Dan's upset. And they just kind of like have a conversation about, is everything okay? And blah, blah, blah. And Dan now has a chip on his shoulder about how he has no guts. He's like, I just feel like Jenny got all the guts, and that's not
it's
fair.
Like Jenny put everybody that she loves at risk tonight for the thing that she loves and that she's passionate about.
Yeah.
And like, instead of seeing that, like, that could actually be a good thing about him, that he's not willing to, like, do whatever it takes, he's like, no, but I need to be doing whatever it takes.
Exactly. It's almost like he's, like, feeling too competitive with Jenny. Like, I don't even know. And, he's like, look, I got to do what I got to do. Goodbye. So then Blair and Emma come home. Her mom is there and she's so mad. She's like, it's super late. You obviously weren't at a movie. Look at how you're dressed. Emma tries standing up for Blair and is sent to bed immediately. And like, we feel like we're about to get this epic face off between Blair and Mrs. Boardman. She says to Blair, you're not Yale material. And Blair's like, bet. And pulls out her phone and is about to show her the picture that she took this evening. But Emma comes out. And this moment, oh my God, where Emma's like, it had nothing to do. It wasn't Blair, whatever. And her mom says, you're lecturing me? No wonder I don't want to spend time with you. And the look on Blair's face, she's completely like triggered in that moment. Emma like deflates, starts to go back to her room. Blair turns and looks at her and like musters up and they like have a genuine smile. And then it's back to, and it's just like, I mean, it's so,
she's so good.
Good. And Blair decides not to show the picture. And all she says to her is, your daughter's a great girl. You should pay more attention to her. Soon mm-hmm. it'll be too late. And it's like, literally would have been too late today if Blair Waldorf hadn't been here.
Yes.
Like, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, oh my God.
So Jenny's looking for Vanessa and ends up running to Big Roof.
Oh, big mistake.
And like, he's,
Dad, say
he's,
that. She's like, I'm so fucking proud of myself. Hey! That's what Jenny does. She's like, devil horns, hey! At everyone who's walking by, like the cops. She's like, you can't touch me. You can't touch me. That's Jenny right now.
Oh my God. And
she's like, I got everything I wanted, Big mm-hmm. Roof.
No, and she's like,
to you.
She has 32 missed calls on her phone from people that want to back her. And Rufus is like, I've never, you have all that, and I have never been more disappointed in you.
And Jenny's like, sorry, who gives a fuck? Who cares?
Sorry, I'm looking around. Who
sorry, I don't
asked?
See anyone who fucking cares what you think.
Didn't you notice that I chose to do this at an event that you weren't invited
yeah.
to?
I was really hoping you wouldn't be here because your opinion means nothing to me, Dad. All right, I got to pick up the phone. Hollywood's calling. So then Lily comes up and Lily's like, oh my God, please. I thought it was amazing. I was inspired. And Rufus is like, how about you kick rocks, Lil? Hey, kick rocks, Lil. So she goes to do that. And Rufus is like, hey, cop, here's
so she
the perpetrator. Arrest her.
That was
what?
Crazy. And listen, I know we always joke about our parents. Actually,
but they wouldn't really. Well,
I don't think they. I'm like thinking they wouldn't, but I'm
Mom
like,
would be like, hey, she's right here. And then like she would. And then Dad would be like, Georgia. I think that's what would happen. And then Mom would like come out of her like fugue state and be like, oh, what am I doing? But then it'd be too late. I already have a mugshot and it would eat. So anyway, this cop is like, all right, well, I'm going to take you to the station and we'll call your family. And she's like, my family's right here. And Lily's like, listen, we're not pressing charges, whatever. And Lily says to Rufus, who is, by the way, mad that Lily stopped Jenny from being arrested. Lily's like, listen, I'm saving you from making a terrible mistake. And then Jenny goes, you know what? You guys figure it out. I'm going home.
Huh?
I'm like, girl, you're not going anywhere.
That was,
I mean,
insane.
Sorry, like, I'm going home.
I might not be, I
you
might
know what?
Not
you
be
guys
in,
figure it out. Figure what out.
I might not be in government issued handcuffs, but I am handcuffed to my mother.
Yeah, literally, like, exactly, like, they're metaphorical, but they are strong, believe
no, I'm
me.
Saying they're real.
Well, at this point, yes.
They're just not. From a
we would be handcuffed.
Yeah,
for sure. For sure. They're actually probably stronger because Mom bought them on the black market. They're legally not allowed to use them in the police academy. Sorry.
So
Nate
next,
is at now at his literal home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more like a house, I'd say.
Yeah.
Less
yeah,
of a home.
Let's get some furniture in here, Nate.
Let's,
if we're
come
really
on,
gonna
dude, let's
gonna
nest
do
a little
it,
bit,
let's
huh?
Do it.
Yeah.
So Chuck comes in and he's
like,
whoa.
Go ahead.
Whoa.
He's like, wait, what? What the heck is this? This place looks
sorry,
sick.
Sorry, I thought I walked into the Archibald house.
Sorry, where the heck am I? And Nate's like, I'm going to stay with my mom. Chuck obviously is like, come stay with me. Nate doesn't want to. Then we have Serena waking Blair up, and she's like, I want to remind you there are other schools and like Princeton. And there's this, Princeton is a trade school. There is only Yale. And
then
like,
the phone rings.
It's Dean Barraby calling Blair. And at the same time, Serena gets a visitor. So Blair gets to take this call by herself, which is great. And the visitor, okay, I'm confused about this. It's Aaron wearing a red Christmas scarf in what I believe to be like early fall, I think. And Serena's in a purple clubbing dress. But it's also, I'm being led to believe, the morning. I'm just confused about this.
We also didn't say one thing about Dan's weird fucking outfit that he's wearing. He's wearing a blazer this whole episode with a gray shirt on under it. That like crosses, it's almost like
oh,
it could have been a hoodie
noticed.
That like crosses like
ugh.
This. It's terrible.
It's like, okay, we get it. You're different. He's like, I tried my hand at the sewing machine last night.
Kind of like
too bad.
It looks like
not
a robe almost. Like the way that a robe folds over someone.
I'm like Serena. But I mean, I guess it makes sense why she'd be into Aaron in this moment if she's
That's
into
true.
That. Serena's like, no thanks. You have a posse and I'm not into that. And Aaron says, which is what I said in the beginning, he's like, I could explain who Tamara is and why she was at my apartment. Is Tamara there? I can explain to Tamara as much as at my apartment, but the point is you either feel something or you don't. You want an excuse to not give this a shot? Fine. This isn't an excuse, fuckboy. It's happened to me in front of her eyes. I can't. Yes. Dangerous man. Dangerous man. Did you get the reference I made? Is Tamara there? Strangers. Is Tamara here?
From the movie Strangers?
Yeah, isn't it Strangers? So they all, that's the line that they always say when they come to the door?
I haven't seen it in so long.
They knock and they say, is Tamara there?
That sounds and then right they're like, to me.
No. And they say, I don't remember. Because you were home, people. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so Aaron's like, I want to take you on a freaking date. And by the way, I hope you kept that ring, but don't eat it. It's 9 years old. So the lore is that he kept his ring and they're going to go to dinner tonight, whatever. And while that was happening, Blair was on the phone with the dean. And Emma told the dean that the person, living or dead, she'd most like to have dinner with is Blair. And he said that Yale could really use a girl like Blair Waldorf.
So oh, cute.
Thank it's God.
Like, it's like all she needed to hear. Like that's like,
and it's all, and you know what? It is all I needed to hear. Like, thank you. Can we give Blair a good fucking day? Jesus.
So back to the Humphrey loft. Dan comes out and sees Rufus waiting for him, and Rufus is like, "Well, Jenny left at 6 a.m. and it's just going to be us for breakfast." And Dan's like, "I was up late, freaking with burning the midnight oil with my quill."
Yeah, finishing a story. And then I had to go shoot down some birds to get more quills because, of course, I ran out. I was finishing the story for Noah Shapiro, the one about Chuck. I'm like, I'm sorry, Dan is so jealous and insecure. It's insane. And Rufus Dan's like, so I tried it your way, Dad, but like, I'm not doing that. And I love what Rufus says here, even though he is the bumbling idiot dad. He's like, I wish I could get the two of you to understand that success, people praising you, it goes away. And when that day comes, if you don't like who you are, you're done. And Dan's response,
insane.
That's a chance I'm willing to take.
And then doesn't he say that Rufus sounds jealous?
Oh, I don't know if he said that. He might have. And then Rufus is like, I'm just disappointed that I have to be worried about you two now. Like, this sucks.
And then Dan says, and by the way, when I came in from getting my quills, I saw Jenny's room. You should go take a look.
You should take a look at their room. You're going to be into that.
Jenny, I mean, there would be an arrest warrant out for me if I, number one, decided to run away. But here's the difference. If I decided to run away, there'd be an Amber Alert. If I decided to run away and I left my room trashed, it's an arrest warrant.
And took everything
for vandalizing.
And theft. They're like, and I own those things. Yeah, exactly. Jenny got all her shit and got lost. And she's looking, by the way, completely insane. Hood over her eyes. It's giving euphoria walking through the streets
like
of New York.
It looks like a PSA. It looks like a PSA you would watch 100% in middle
looks
school
like a PSA.
For, like, if you start taking drugs, this is your life.
This is you. This is your future. Exactly. So that's happening. And then we just get a montage of Serena and Blair looking through the Yale course catalog together. So sweet. They're like kicking their feet on the bed.
Those are the scenes that I think about their feud most with, though. Layton and Blake. Like, to think about them not liking each other and having to just film like those little filler scenes.
Because it feels so real.
Real.
Like, I know. I guess it's called acting. Nate's walking to the train station, it seems, and he's mailing a letter to Jenny Humphrey. I wouldn't do that if I were you.
I would. I was like, oh, whoa, Nate already has her new address. Jenny doesn't even have it yet.
Wait, yeah.
Oh.
Where are you sending that, my guy?
It's under Brooklyn Bridge. It's going to the loft, because then we see Dan mailing his story out, and his return address is the same address that Nate is saying. Nate put
on
his letter.
Good eye, Phoebe. Good
eye. They live on Water Street, by the way.
Oh, well, good to know. And guys, that's the episode. Am I on synopsis?
Yes.
Okay, 1 second. While I'm getting the synopsis for next week, you guys should go start writing us a review. You should leave a comment on Spotify. Let us know what you thought of the episode. Okay, next episode is called Season 2, Episode 10 of Gossip Girl, Bonfire of the Vanity. Ooh. Blair despises Eleanor Waldorf's new boyfriend at first sight. We're meeting Cyrus this soon?
Whoa.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Not enough. Okay. Jenny moves in with Agnes. Good plan. As they move forward with their plans for a fashion line, and Dan tries to win the trust of Bart Bass. Some unlikely pairings here.
I think you're going to be pretty upset about a story you just sent to Noah Shapiro.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, I think we should have thought a few steps ahead with that one. But okay, I'll wait to see what happens. I'll wait.
Well, guys, look at
thank
this
you guys.
Absolute perfect timing.
I know, we nailed it. I'm going to see The Odyssey right now, you guys, in IMAX. Hell yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you next week. There will be some Patreon episodes this week, The Caroline Show, Other People's Business. So go listen to those. And we love you so much. And bye. We'll see you next week.
And splat.
And splat.